The Olympic Games have begun, and besides sports, the Games mean 2 weeks of Olympic music. The World's Alex Galifant has been trolling through the archives. Alex, what do you have for us?
Okay, Marco, there's just some music that just screams Olympic Games, especially for Americans. Take this, for example. Okay, you recognize that one?
Yeah, it's recent. Was that Los Angeles?
Well, yeah, exactly. 1984, Los Angeles, John Williams. And John Williams has composed scores for Olympic Games, for NBC coverage, for all sorts of things. Now, by way of contrast, here's how the Olympics used to sound on TV in the UK.
Cool. Why don't they have that now?
This is Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man, as recorded by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Say it isn't so.
It is so.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, the Olympics is kind of all things to all people, I mean, when it comes to music. By the way, the BBC theme this year for the Olympics is completely different. Check this out. This is co-written by Damon Albarn.
Damon Albarn from the band Blur, and also a musician who's keenly interested in global music sounds.
Exactly. So we've got this huge range of Olympic music, from fanfares to 70s Copland to a kind of dub Chinese. And that raises the question, what would the Olympic Games be like without music?
Anyway? We certainly couldn't do it on TV, I think. Having never been to the Olympics, I can't even imagine what it would be like to go to the Olympics and not hear music there.
Right, and think about the amount of music that occurs during the Games. There's music. Well, there are actually categories that the Olympic organizing committees are compelled to fulfill. So there's admission music when athletes come into the stadium for the Games. There's music for the award ceremonies. You know, every time people are walking up to the podium, there's music. This year, it's Tan Dun, who's, you know, the Chinese film composer.
Right.
And this is an excerpt from the Beijing Organizing Committee's website. It reads, Tan Dun has made a harmonious integration of sounds from cereal bells and jade musical stones with sweet melody of jasmine.
Sounds great.
I know. So there's that. There's march out music, and then there's also sports demonstration cymbal music, which is the kind of signature tune for TV broadcasts, for the live big screens in Beijing, all sorts of stuff.
Do the TV broadcasts have to use this music, or can they opt to use their own music?
I think it's probably a combination of the two. This next bit of music I'm going to play for you is likely to be played about 1,300 times over the next 2 weeks, and it was composed with Tan Dun by this man, a Swedish composer called Robert Wells.
We have been recording very special. It's with my own symphony orchestra, the Rhapsody Rock Orchestra, together with sampling from 2,000-year-old bells and string instrument from China.
Rhapsody and Rock Orchestra. Wow, what a title.
Rhapsody and Rock Orchestra. Actually, he's toured in China for a number of years, and the reason this came about is he was popular in China. They invited him to compete. There was a competition held for this 45-second bit of music, and he won like a month ago, and this is the winning piece. Now, here's something you might not associate with the Olympics. And to help me out, this is a guy called William Googold from the University of Akron in Ohio.
From the beginning of the Games, 1896 until 1948, you could attend the Olympics and enter competitions in the arts, music, drama, architecture, you know, all of those, what we think of fine arts, were actually part of the Olympic Games and the competition.
That's extraordinary. I had no idea.
Yeah. So you could go along to the, I mean, you could, you know, do your archery and you're running around and all the rest of it, but you could enter a building, or there was even a gold medal for town planning briefly.
And they would medal in these events?
They absolutely would. Now, it was tricky for music particularly, in fact, for all these artistic competitions, because it was difficult to judge. You know, it was hard to find a judging panel.
Right, it's very subjective.
Deeply subjective. And it was also hard to get high-quality submissions. Here's William Googold again. By the way, he's the author of a book called 100 Years of Olympic Music.
I think probably the downfall was because of the amateurism rule. You know, as a musician, I know that if we can do what we do well, we need to get paid to do it. So the music that was submitted was very trite or not of a very high quality. And the judging panel included people like Stravinsky in the 1920s. That would be kind of intimidating to any amateur composer to be submitting a work to be judged by one of the greats like Stravinsky.
Yeah, I'll say. And so if Stravinsky was one of the judges, are there any competitors that we might recognize today?
Well, no. That's the extraordinary thing. All this Olympic competition music, it's totally, totally forgotten. There are a few manuscripts floating around, but they've not been recorded. It's just not worth it. But there is one medal-winning work that survives by a respected Czech composer called Josef Suk. He won the silver medal at the Los Angeles Games of 1932 with this piece, Toward a New Life.
That's a piece by Josef Suk, a relatively minor composer. Alex, any big composers make their mark on the Olympics?
Yes. One example is this piece by Shostakovich that became associated with the Olympics, although it wasn't written for the Olympics.
The Festive Overture in A Major by Dmitri Shostakovich played at which Olympics, Alex?
The 1980 Summer Games in Moscow. It was actually written for a concert held at the Bolshoi Theatre in Moscow to commemorate the 37th anniversary of the October Revolution, but obviously had more life in it, so let's use it for the Olympics as well.
Give it a second spin.
Now contrast that, frankly glorious bit of music, with some other Olympic themes. And here's again William Gugold.
In 1988, we have Whitney Houston's One Moment in Time. From Atlanta in 1996, Celine Dion's The Power of the Dream. In Lillehammer in 1994, Norwegian pop singer named Sissel did the piece Fire in Your Heart.
Many comments one could make, but suffice it to say, Alex, that from Shostakovich to Sissel, Olympic music kind of seems all over the place.
Well, I don't know. It's like it's uplifting music, different audiences, different times. I mean, who knows? I mean, people react to music in so many different ways. For somebody, Shostakovich is the perfect Olympic-sounding music. It's uplifting, it's orchestral, it's grand, it's dynamic. For somebody else, that piece from Lillehammer might capture the Olympic spirit absolutely. It's contemporary, it's hip, it's whatever. Maybe it's not hip, but it's whatever.
The world's Alex Galifian. Great, great, great stuff, Alex. Thanks for doing the digging for us.
You're welcome. And thanks also to Bill Gugold at the University of Akron for helping us out.